This program is sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.
This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Send me free. Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here. Welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. Thank you for joining us on this battlefield we call life. And today I have a guest calling in from the United Kingdom. Martin Kurt is the senior pastor and vicar of the Church of the Holy Spirit in Aylesbury in the United Kingdom. Last month, his church hosted one of our From Porn to Grace conferences, and I've invited him to share on the program some of what he went through. So, Martin, my friend, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. It's good to be with you.
So I'm going to begin by reading several sentences from a post that you wrote, Martin, that I think will help set the stage here. So this was when you were beginning to prepare for the conference, and you write, "I began to feel a heavy sense of failure. No one's going to come. People have told me they don't like the way the conference has been advertised, that posters with the word porn are in bad taste, and children might ask questions that will embarrass their parents. Some said they didn't understand why on earth I would want to put on such an event. Some told me it was brave, but I sensed what they really meant was, you'll not get me coming. Our church leaders in the town, who I know well, having been in Aylesbury for 16 years, made some polite noises, but very few enthusiastically backed it. Some said if the speaker was American, he wouldn't relate to reserved English people, and might he be a rather grubby character anyway? Others said that there are lots of different kinds of addiction, and couldn't we run a conference for addiction generally without focusing on porn? Others said the flyers were too Christian-sounding or not Christian enough." It sounds like you went for a little bit of opposition there, Martin.
Yeah, no, I certainly did. And really, I think when it was about 2 weeks to go before the conference, I just began to feel a sense of heaviness. I was concerned that maybe no one would come. The people I'd reached out to, the other church pastors, hadn't really got behind it in the way that I would have hoped. And so I was thinking, well, poor Mike, he's here from the States, and I don't want to be embarrassed by there being no one here. But also, I had a heavy heart, because what initially drew me to inviting you, Mike, was just the appalling statistics about the use of porn among Christians and even church pastors. And I thought, well, if this is such a big issue, then why aren't we doing anything about it? And surely we can at least have an event where we talk about this and pray into it and really get the benefit of your testimony, Mike, and how you overcame this addiction and how it gives hope to others. But, of course, people just don't like talking about this, and British people are notoriously reserved anyway. But particularly when it comes to something as personal as porn. I mean, at one stage, I even laughed rather than cried, because I visited our Alcoholics Anonymous group that meet every week in our church premises. And I go along occasionally, and I listen to terrible stories of how alcohol has destroyed people's lives. And of course, they're all very open there. I went along, and I told them about this conference to do with addiction to porn. And well, some of them listened intently. Someone else let out a whistle as if to say, gosh, that's a bit heavy. And I thought, yeah, that sums it up. People are more willing to talk about alcohol addiction or even drug addiction than they are to talk about porn use. So, yeah, it was tough going, but it was worth it because the conference was attended by not anywhere like as many people as I wanted. But we had 20 men and 10 women, and from all over the town, from different churches as well. And actually, it was a very worthwhile day, and a lot of good has come out of it. So, yeah, thanks, Mike, for what you did for us. Mm.
So what is your take on what you went through to set this up? Spiritual warfare, the culture, both? Or
yeah, well, I mean, you had advised me to get some prayer cover for it, and I did share it with our intercessory team, and they were praying. I did pray with the other church leaders, and they, so they, you know, to be fair to them, they did pray about it, even if they weren't full of enthusiasm about it. And yeah, we had a lot going on in our family beforehand. I felt it was spiritual. In particular, I had someone who I work with in the church, who a member of my staff, who actually really didn't want this to happen and said they weren't going to come on that day. And I thought, gosh, you know, that really hit me, because I thought I mean, this was actually when I invited you to speak on a Sunday morning. So I'm getting the two events a bit confused, because initially it was just meant to be the Saturday day conference. But I felt that the whole church congregation needed to hear what you had to say. So I invited you to speak on a Sunday morning a couple of weeks after the conference. And it was that I had more spiritual attack over that as well. In particular, this person on the staff just said, well, I won't be coming that Sunday morning. You know, church is supposed to be a place where we come and worship God, and we don't want to hear about these this sort of thing. And I struggled to try to argue with them, and I tried to say, well, you know, this is about holiness. Jesus talks about, you know, cutting off our hand if it causes us to sin, plucking out our eye and throwing it away if our eye causes us to sin. And surely the least we can do is to talk about these things and possibly help deliver people from the bondage of them. But I just sensed my words, however well I thought I was arguing, I just sensed my words were coming up against something spiritual, resistance, and so I just let it go. But that's the kind of thing that we're up against in this area. Satan really doesn't want to allow his domain here to be attacked and to concede ground, because I think the devil is so happy that so many people are watching porn and so many people are being sucked into the degradation of it all. And so we're really up against the powers and principalities in this area. Yeah. Mm.
So what do you see there in the UK church at large? Surveys have shown that Great Britain is the second largest consumer of porn in the world. So are churches there talking about sexual issues? Or?
Well, I mean, gosh, I think I've come across quite a lot of denial over the statistics. Some people say, oh, I'm sure it can't be that bad. Other people just go quiet and don't really want to engage with it. I mean, I think we've got a lot of problems in the church here, just as you've got your challenges in the States. I mean, over here, there's so much complacency. Although, actually, the Church of England, of which I'm an ordained clergy person in, an ordained pastor in the Church of England, we've been rocked over the last few years with several safeguarding scandals where people have misbehaved, and rather than being dealt with properly, things have been covered up. And just very recently, a very senior bishop in the church, the Bishop of Liverpool, has had to resign over allegations, even by a fellow bishop, a woman, that he acted inappropriately towards her. And I think that underneath, of course, so much of the misbehavior of those in the church in leadership is to do with the fact that they've cultivated lust in one way or another, and I'm sure porn is a huge part of this. And so inevitably this does impact people's behavior and causes scandal. People try and cover it up, and that doesn't work, and it makes it even worse. And so I think there's a sober realization, at least in the Church of England, that we've just got to clean up our act. And but I'm not sure the connection has really been made with porn. I think a lot of people think that if you have proper processes and professional standards and all that sort of accountability, then that will deal with things. I'm not sure people have understood the real heart of it spiritually, that requires deep repentance and a completely new attitude towards holiness, and particularly sexual holiness, and treating people with absolute purity, and as the Bible says. I think we're being shaken here in the UK. And I'm really hopeful that there will be a new repentance. I mean, I dreamed that this conference might, you know, begin a sort of a new season of perhaps people in this town being convicted of sin and coming to the Lord, as revivals do tend to start. Real revivals start with a real spirit of contrition, I hoped that things would get moving in the town. So when there were only 30 people there, I was thinking, oh no, Lord, this isn't much. But someone had a picture of a kind of word from the Lord, or a picture rather, that of an ice, a big ice pack and an ice pick. And the sense was that we may just be chipping away at the edge of the iceberg, so to speak, but that we were beginning to see cracks in the ice, very small, but pray that through God's Spirit those cracks will widen and people will be challenged by the Spirit and convicted of sin and repent and come back to the Lord. Because I think so many people know that porn is wrong and unhealthy, but are locked into it. And I think people kind of need to hear that there is a way out. There is forgiveness. There is restoration. Yeah, we certainly need that message over here. Yeah.
You mentioned, I thought that was a great picture she gave, a great word that she had about chipping away at it. And I've been coming there, I think, since 2018 and doing some chipping away. And one thing I heard repeatedly is my pastor will not discuss sex from the pulpit. Is this a cultural thing or what is going on there?
I think my brother has a church in London, and he said that he once referred to pornography in a sermon, and he did say, you know, please come and talk to me if it's an issue. And afterwards he noticed that every man in the church just completely avoided him over the coffee after the service. And I suppose that's the sort of thing that people are up against. They just feel that the problem is we're nowhere near what we should be. Is like you know, the early church was, I think, very conscious of the holiness of God. And, you know, they saw the power of God striking down Ananias and Sapphira for their lying to the Holy Spirit. But we're so far from that now, and we're even a long way from, say, the early Methodist revival, where the small groups of people would meet, and they would really challenge each other with questions such as, you know, well, how is your prayer life? How are you dealing with money? Have you lusted in any way over this past week? And we're so far from that degree of accountability that I think people just think, well, you know, so much easier to talk generalities or to just be nice and pleasant and pretend that there are no real issues within the church community. And I think that's the sort of complacent attitude of so many. I think the church is a bit like the church in Laodicea in many ways, you know, complacent, comfortable, thinking everything's fine when it's not. Yeah,
I think that's well said, and you mentioned accountability, and during the conference, I asked the audience to raise their hand if they met with another believer once a week for support, encouragement, accountability, and prayer, and only one hand went up.
Yeah.
So what is your take on that?
Well, a few years ago, I tried to establish some kind of mentoring program. I did find that some people were willing to be mentors, and they did the program. But it was very hard to find people who'd then be willing to be mentored. I think that we've got home groups in our church, and I think they're really good home groups. Provide a degree of fellowship where there's some honesty. I think we do have some prayer triplets where I think people open up a bit more than they would in other situations. I just think I've got to keep plugging away at the benefits of being together and encouraging one another. We've introduced a new strapline in our church called helping each other to follow Jesus. And I think that sense of our duty is to help each other. And that means not just showing up on a Sunday, although some people don't even do that or don't even take that seriously enough. But it also means being willing to challenge, to correct, train, reprove, comfort, warn, all of these things we need, but we're a long way from it, I think until we really get serious about the discipline required in the Christian life, then I just don't think we realize the need for it.
Let's talk about spiritual warfare a bit. You told me a story that where you encountered some, I think it was witches or witchcraft, and what does that look like there in Great Britain?
Yeah, at our previous place in the West Country of England, there was quite a bit of occult activity, and people, in those days, people still used cassette tapes, and we found that cassette tape had been wrapped around the railings of the church, and we thought that was probably curses and spells and things. But I think spiritual warfare is all around us. I don't think it's just witches, and I think Satan likes to operate under the radar in all sorts of ways, and I think that Satan is just as happy to work in an environment where there doesn't seem to be obvious occult activity, but people are just blinded to spiritual realities. they just don't even think that there's a devil or a demonic sphere. And I think probably the devil likes that most of all, because then he can operate without being noticed. I think porn and addiction is certainly an area where he'd like it that we didn't see it as a really spiritual issue. He'd like it if we just see it as a social phenomenon that can be a bit unhealthy if you overdo it, but with moderation, you know, it's fine. Whereas actually the truth is that it's giving him a foothold, any sort of porn use, and therefore we're inviting Satan right in when we do this, and I don't think he wants people to realize that.
Amen. And one of the things that I really loved hearing about was you told me you had intercessors praying during the conference and intercessors praying before. And I was like, wow, I don't remember ever having heard that before at a conference I've led before. And so I really appreciated your approach on prayer and your church's approach on prayer. How many prayer meetings do you have going on during the week?
We have prayer. I meet in the church to pray with my administrator every morning, but we have a group for women in the church on a Monday morning. We have twice a month, we have an evening prayer meeting. And we have prayer in our small groups, of course, in our regular services. And then, as I say, you know, there will be people in the church who meet up in prayer triplets as well.
I'm just going to be frank here. You at some point mentioned kind of envying American churches for the numbers coming in here, but I told you no, because I love the way you guys incorporated prayer into your service. And Martin, I love your heart that you're willing to open these areas up and go to war. We need more of that.
Yeah, thank you. I'm blessed to be in the church where I'm at. It's a church that's always been open to the Holy Spirit and wanting to be real and, you know, hungry for God, reaching out, sharing His love. But we're not a big church, and I do sometimes, you know, look enviously, I must confess, at churches that are bigger, and I think, oh, you know, you can do so much more. But I understand from what you've said and others that bigger churches doesn't necessarily equate to being more effective, because sometimes in bigger churches, people can just fill the pews and not really engage in service or spiritual, let alone spiritual warfare, you know. But big is not necessarily beautiful. So that was encouraging for me. Mm. Yeah.
So, Martin, we're down to about the last minute. Talk to pastors about what they should be doing about the porn epidemic in their church.
I'm a sort of convert to raising this as an issue, and I think I've got my brother to agree to you going. So that's a bigger church in London, but also I'm using my networks to try to get an invite for you and your ministry, and you know, because I think the time is right. I think there's so much now going on, certainly in the Church of England, to do with behavior and conduct of church leaders, and I think I can link that to our internal spiritual state, you know, and the fact that if the statistics are right, you know, a lot of people involved in church leadership, whether youth ministers, worship leaders, pastors, pillars of the church, you know, this is an issue which they need to bring into the light in some way. us, if we want to see a revival of faith, then I believe God would have his church to be purified, a clean vessel for him to use. Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, well, we're at the end now, and thank you, Martin, and thank you, my friends, and we'll see you next time. Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.